right, let's go with the message this morning. I've been in a series called Leaders Lead. That's what leaders do. Now, let me tell you something. If you think because there's more room in here because snowbirds are left, you're going to sleep on me. That's not happening, guys. Okay, just now you can lounge around. You need to be sitting up. Amen? Come on, here we go. Leaders lead. That's what leaders do. Say that with me again. Leaders, that's what leaders do. I've said it before. A lot of people want to be a leader, but what they want is position. Okay? You can have position. That doesn't mean you're a leader. It could mean you just had some money. Okay? Or you had a mama that gave you the job. Or a daddy or something like that. But the point is, leaders lead. I believe everybody can be a leader. In the church, I believe everybody can lead. I believe everybody has the potential to be a leader in the church. From the young all the way to the old, I believe everybody has the potential to be a leader. Every person can lead. A couple of weeks ago, had a young family. I've known this fellow for years. First met him years ago when he worked at Ace Hardware. Now he runs one of these shops where you soup up your cars and everything. He can get you all that fancy stuff to make that car go crazy. Amen? And he runs it off of like Avenue of Americas or something in one of those buildings back there. But the mama and him came to me last Sunday morning after the service because their two children, one was like 11, one was 8, both of them heard the message on that even kids can lead. And both of them had situations where they actually had to stand up and be a leader at 8 years old and 11 years old. And she just wanted to share with me how they led and what they did in front of the kids and building those kids up in front of me, and for me to be able to say, that is incredible. You know, so yeah, let's praise the Lord for children. Children can lead, man. You know, it's good stuff in young people. So anyway, and it's something at the high school and with the athletic program we try to build into them, leadership, leadership, leadership. So let's talk about it here this morning. Leaders lead. That's what leaders do. Let's go with it, Raj. We're rolling. This is the last message in the series from the book of 1 Timothy. Say 1 Timothy with me. 1 Timothy. There's also a 2 Timothy. We're looking at 1 Timothy, and we're going to finish it up today. We've done chapter by chapter, 1, 2, 3, 4, and now we're going to do 5 and 6. I'll do two chapters, but I'm not going to read a lot from the one chapter. You're going to have to go back and do that on your own. I'm just going to touch on it. Because I really want to get to what I think is the kicker at the end. The kicker. If you're going to lead and really be the leader you can be, that you need to be, we're going to talk about it. Here we go. Let's go with it. Leaders lead. Say it with me. Come on. Everything's been up, baby. If you're going to lead, somebody's got to man up. Somebody's got to step up, baby. Come on. So step up. Today's message I've called Committing to Your Calling. Say that with me. Committing to your... One more time, committing to your, as long as you waffle, as long as there's a way out. I had an old real estate guy years ago. I sold real estate in college. And I remember the broker, he was so happy when I bought a house. When I personally bought a house and I got a mortgage. Because he knew I was committed then. He knew this clerk boy is committed. And that's when I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He knew I was committed because, see, I done lassoed myself up. I done tied myself up. Amen? You know what I mean? Now I've grown up all these years later and hate those things. Amen? Hate those mortgages, you know. And I try to help people not get those kinds of things if you can help it. Amen? But my point is that as long as there's a way out, that's why a lot of people rent so they can always leave. You know what I mean? They don't really establish them. That's not why everybody rents, but it can be that way. But to establish roots, to put yourself down, to get committed. Amen? I want to talk about commitment today and being committed to your calling. Because as long as there's a way out, as long as, you know, I tell you what, but once you're committed, once you're all in, you'd be surprised how that leadership thing's going to come a little easier for you. Did you hear me or not? Did I lose you? Okay, let's just talk about it. I might be rambling. Let's see. Come on. The Lord Jesus Christ was calling for leaders. After He was here, He gave His life on the cross. He came back. He was resurrected. He's calling. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, you know, all power is given unto you. And so he's calling for leaders. And the early church was born. Keep looking. And during that time, all probably 40, 50 years had passed, but it's still the early church. There was a young man named who? Timothy. He answered God's call. He answered the call of God to serve him, to be a leader. Now, he was younger than most of the early church leaders. Most of the leaders were elderly. And that's the way it was. Does not mean he was a teenager. Most likely, he could have been 30 to 40 years old, somewhere in that ballpark. But they would have still looked at him as young. Okay? We've been talking about him this whole time. Now, he had been a faithful laborer with his mentor. Who was his mentor? Say it with me. The Apostle Paul. Paul maybe had led him to Christ. We don't know. We think so, as we read Acts and other places. But he was a mentor to Paul. He worked with the Apostle Paul. Paul even said it many times, he only had Timothy. I only have Timothy. Everybody else has left me. Or Titus. I have Titus and Timothy. Nobody else cares for me. This is the great Apostle Paul. This was a great man, the man Timothy. Say great man. He's a great man. Okay? He had a passion for people. He loved people. He cared for people. There's no doubt about that. He became the pastor at the church at Ephesus. I'm just reviewing a little with you right now. He became the pastor at the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus, hey, that's the first church talked about in the book of Revelation. Amen? It's a great church. You know, the book of Ephesians, one of the greatest books in the Bible you'll ever read is the book of Ephesians. This was a great church. He became the pastor there after the Apostle Paul. But, and this is where we enter the picture, he was experiencing incredible what? Because of who? People problems. Now that's the angle I've chose to look at this book from. I've never done this before. I've just preached out of 1 Timothy for years and years and years. But I chose this time to really look at it maybe from the way Timothy was feeling. And what this letter was meant to do for the man. And maybe I'd learn something new. And that's what I've been doing. It's been good for me. Very good for me to see. And there again, that Word of God's like a diamond. You turn it a certain way. Wow. And that's what I've done. I've really tried to encourage myself, but encourage you to be a leader, to be strong. And that's what we're doing today. We're going to finish this up. This has been an incredible series. It's going to be very good when it hits the radio. It's going to be great. It's going to go on DVD. It's already on YouTube, and it's getting quite a bit of hits. This is really important. Okay? Let's look at it. The Apostle Paul writes Timothy a letter to instruct him. That is your Bible. When you get this Bible, your Bible, you got your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you got Acts. But then from there on, you got Romans and Corinthians, and you got Galatians and Ephesians. You see what I'm saying? These are all real letters to real people, or churches, or people suffering or hurting or needing encouragement. That Bible you have, that's the beauty of the Word of God. And we believe all that Scripture was given by God, by inspiration of God. Okay? And this is a great... Who would have known it, man? You can look at this book of 1 Timothy, maybe hopefully the rest of your life now when you need encouragement. Amen? And on how to lead. It's great. So he writes in this book to encourage him, to admonish him to be the what? That he what? I know you're a leader. You were with me all these years. But here he is. Paul's in prison. And this man's there by himself, seemingly, and he's serving, and he's hurting. And Paul writes him, you can do this! Amen? That's what's happening here. Okay? So we looked at several messages. Rise up. That's what Timothy did, to be a leader for God. We talked about that. And then give up. First things first, if you're going to be a leader, for God, you're going to have to learn to prioritize. You're not going to get everything you want. Not going to necessarily be able to do everything you want. It's what leaders do. You make choices. But leadership matters. Live up. That was a humdinger of a message. The must-dos of the godly leader. And that's that passage for years that I'd looked at just about the pastor. And I put it on you, and I said, why do I have to live up and you don't? Say, you don't have to live up and be a godly person, but so the Pastor Clark does. Are you kidding me? Is that what this is all about? I don't think so. God's calling you to lead. Amen? So we talked about that. Last week was push-up. That's exercising godly leadership. And it was several things that I pushed you to do if you're going to be the leader you need to be. So, here we go today. Are you asleep yet? Say, good, you're doing great. Here we go. Today's message, the last one. Say it with me. Step up, committing to your what? One more time. Committing to your calling. This is good for us today. Very good for us. Come on, let's listen. Before I get into all the committing of the calling, I wanted to cover some of chapter 5. I'm not going to put the scriptures up there. I just want to show you what's in there and what I found. I'm sure Timothy had been talking to Paul. He had to be for Paul to understand all the problems and the struggles. And so I've called this little section of the message, how can I do that? Say that with me. How can I do that? Okay? Just some questions that Timothy has to Paul. And if you read 1 Timothy chapter 5, he covers a bunch of stuff and it seems sort of crazy. Let's look at some of the problems Timothy was dealing with real fast. The Apostle Paul takes time in chapters 5 and 6 to address and deal with many of the people issues that Timothy was stressing over. Okay? And after we talk about this, we're going to get into what I want for us. But I want you to see it. Here's some examples that I found. Here's Timothy saying, how do I do that? Here's one. How do I correct somebody who's as old as my dad or my mom, or they're as young as my brother and my sister? He was having problems with the people. How do I tell an old man who's a leader or somebody as old as my mother, you're wrong! How do you do that? Amen? So that was one of his questions, and Paul addresses it. And by the way, who's supposed to care for widows, Paul? There's so many women whose husbands have been killed in the early church because of their faith. There's so many women without husbands. And they're in my congregation, he's saying. And he said, and there's a lot of young ones. I mean, there are young women out there, Paul. How do I do that? And what is the family's responsibility? Aren't they supposed to take care of these people? Are you hearing me or not? Now, this is Timothy talking, not me. If you read the Bible, you'll see all this stuff. Amen? I want you to check it out. You'll see Paul's answers. What about pay for me? Timothy says. You know, what's up with that? I'm working double time, overtime here. So this guy is really discouraged, so Paul deals with that. And then he says, what about respect for me? Paul, I watched them respect you, but I'm not seeing them respect me. You know, they despise Timothy just because of his youth. Remember last week? Let no man despise you because of your what? Youth. Okay, how about this one, Paul? What about those who openly disrespect me? I'm the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and Timothy says there's people that are just out there openly disrespecting me. You know what, Paul's advice? I will give you that one. He says, bring them before the church. Okay? They talk about you, Timothy. I know who you are. You bring them before the church so that everybody will learn to fear. They don't want to mess with you. You understand? Yes or no? Say. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's a good word. Come on. That's a good word, guys. Did you hear me? We're in a culture today where we can talk about people, we can gossip about people, we can talk about a pastor, we can gossip about a pastor. I'm going to tell you something, you'll have hell to pay one day when you stand before God. Do you hear me, yes or no? You won't come to me and talk about a pastor. I'm sorry. You're just not going to do it. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to spend time with that. I'm not saying I've been perfect in that area of my life, my whole life, but that's something inside of me. You know what I'm saying? They're not perfect, and guess who else ain't? How about we ain't? Can we say that? We ain't. Do you see where I'm coming from? Absolutely. And there are people that backed up on their call and walked away from their call, and there's pastors that are disgraceful. But are there church members that are disgraceful? Somebody tell me. Oh, yeah. So the point is, listen, Timothy was dealing with some mess here. And leaders lead, guys. Okay? And he dealt with that. He says, what about people who disrespect me? Openly. Paul dealt with it in this letter. That didn't mean it was going to be easy for him to go through it, but he dealt with it. Amen? Let's look at this one. He asked this question, how do I select people to help me? I need help, man. I need help here at this church. How do I pick people to do that? That's in chapter 5 and 6. Paul even deals with Timothy's ulcers. So obviously, he has been writing Paul or talking to Paul or something because he said to Timothy, hey, dude, throw a little wine in with that water. Is that what the Bible says? It does say that. It does say that. Absolutely. And you know already about me, I don't drink wine. About 2 years ago, I tried a glass of wine. I was on a plane. I don't know if I've told this publicly. Man, I was going through all kinds of hell in my life. And I'm on this plane. I thought, I'm in first class. They'd bump me up to first class. I'm sitting there, and she comes by. Would you like something to drink? I said, yeah, have some wine. I know nothing about it. My mother was a drunk. My stepdad was a drunk, ended up murdering my mother. So alcohol and me don't mix too good in my mind and in my heart. Okay? But I drank that stuff. It was terrible. I'm serious. I don't know anything about it. You know, I'm like, I'm thinking it's going to taste like grape juice or something. I'm excited about it. So anyway, I'm sorry I'm sharing like this. I shouldn't. If you're visiting, yeah, this happens sometimes. But anyway, so yeah, I drink this sucker. And like, oh my God, it's terrible. And people are looking at me. You know. And so I said, I need like a, do you have a Sprite? So then I poured it all in the Sprite. Wasn't that bad after you poured all that in it? Did I feel better? Yeah. I'm sorry. Is this in the Bible? Say. It is in the Bible. Anyway, needless to say, I'm fine with my iced tea and Diet Coke and coffee. Amen? I'm good to go, brother. Anyway, sorry. Are you all right? Back to the message. Here we go. What about masters and slaves? There's a section, chapter 6, he writes, he has to talk to Timothy about how slaves, because there were slaves in his church, whose masters also were in his church. And he has to write how to deal with that. He actually admonishes the slaves, even though you are a slave, you now are a brother in Christ, and you shouldn't take, because you're equal in Christ, does not mean that you're equal. Isn't that crazy in the Bible say? The Bible wasn't condoning slavery at all. This was a man having to deal with a man who lived in a certain culture, and that pastor had to deal with the culture he lived in. You understand that, yes or no? He had to deal with it. Over half the Roman Empire, we're told, were slaves. Over half in the whole Roman Empire were what? Slaves. It was something he dealt with. Does that mean the Bible condones slavery? Absolutely not. The Bible does not condone slavery. But keep that in mind when you're reading passages sometimes, guys, and you stand in judgment or you become a legalist because you got this little verse that says this. Sometimes you need to compare Scripture with Scripture and just have a, you know, understand? You understand what I'm saying? And some people don't like it when I talk like this, but there is cultural things in the Scriptures. Y'all listening to me or not? All right. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so these are things he's dealing with. So Paul tries to answer some of his questions. Do y'all understand what I just did? Okay, just trying to show you what Paul was doing with Timothy. There's always going to be questions. But there's always going to be problems. Okay? So, answering all the questions are not going to solve all the problems. Okay? Paul went down the list. This. But I'm going to tell you something. Answering all Timothy's questions was not going to solve Timothy's problem. And that's what I want to talk about. Leaders lead. Okay?
It's not about all the questions getting answered. Because if you ever are going to be a true leader, I'm going to tell you something, there's going to be things you're not going to understand. There's going to be things that you're going to have to just put over here. Okay? You understand? Say, all the problems aren't... Oh, I'm a leader for God now. All the problems just went away. Are you kidding me? You're always going to have problems, guys. Are you hearing me? If you want to be a leader free from problems, then you're not going to be a leader. Do you hear me? You're going to have problems in your life, in church work, in your work at the office. As you try to be a leader for God, you're going to have problems. So if you're just trying to free yourself from all these problems so you can be a leader, you'll never be a leader because you're never going to free yourself from all these problems. They're called people. Okay? So Timothy, let's talk. And here we go, last part, and this isn't long. How can I stay with it, Paul? How can I do this, man? Even though it's hard work, and even though I get hurt, tell me, how can I keep serving the Lord here? Help me, Paul. That's me thinking Timothy is crying to his pastor, to his leader. Help me. Please help me. You hear me or not? To me, the book of 1 Timothy, that's why the book was written, to help this man. Now, the beauty is it's the Word of God, and it can help us too. Amen? That's the beautiful thing here. Step up. Commit to your calling. So Paul answers the questions, gives it advice, etc. But now he's going to really tell Timothy at the end what it's going to take for you to be the leader that I know you can be. Amen? This is a message, guys. It's a very simple thing I'm going to just roll out right now. It's not going to take long. But there are four things that you can remember. You can always remember them. They all start with F. Say F. F. That helps me a lot in my life if I can just sort of name things like that. You know, same letter or something, alliterate. They're all F's. How can you commit to your calling? Please don't just see this as Timothy. See this as you today, being the leader you can be. You ready? Here we go. We're going to talk about committing to your calling. Before we do that, I pulled up several scriptures from other places in the Bible. The gifts and calling of God are without what? Repentance. That means they're without turning back. The call of God is without turning back. Any man having put his hand to the plow, Jesus said, and looking what? Back is not what? Fit. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high what? Calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're talking about answering the call of God. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We're talking about committing to your calling today. I might have lost it, but I think we're going to round the wagon. We're going to catch it here in a second. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never what? Fall. There's something about committing to your call that leaders must do. You hearing me? Faithful is he that what? Who also will do it. Amen? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. Want to talk right here at the close, maybe 10 minutes or so, 15 max. Stepping up, committing to your call, Timothy. Now here we're going to go back. Here we go. Now, we're back at the last chapter in 1 Timothy. See it up there? 1 Timothy chapter 6. But thou, O man of God, he's talking to Timothy, flee these things. follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and you professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate, he witnessed a good profession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The four things I want to say are wrapped up right there, what we just read. How do you commit to your call? How, as a leader, do you not quit serving God? How do you shake both feet and say, I'm all in, and never turn back? Amen? How do you do that? Praise the Lord. That's what we're going to look at. Let's go. Step up. Number one. Can we say these words real loud? Because I'm pretty energized. And I need some help out here. Amen? Number one. Say it loud. Can we say it louder? One more time. One last time. Flee. If you want to commit to your call, flee. That's what he told him. The word means, listen to me, separate yourself or distance yourself from. It doesn't mean run with your tail tucked between your legs. He said, flee, Timothy. Flee. What does he mean? Look at it. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, and he doesn't know anything. But doting about questions and strifes of words, where comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, say that with me, from such withdraw. Are y'all going to help me, please, here? From such withdraw thyself. Number one, if you want to commit to godly leadership and to being a godly leader, you've got to flee. You've got to distance yourself, not just from people, but sometimes you have to distance yourself from people. How many have had to do that in your life to keep going and be positive and do what you have to do? You've got to distance yourself from certain people. Can I see your hands one more time? Let's talk about it. Come on. Right there. That's what leaders do. Okay? And he's telling Timothy. Timothy has a church. Timothy has people inside his church that's doting about questions. They're all about questions and questioning everything. Flee! Separate yourself. Doesn't mean you can't answer questions. Doesn't mean that questions don't need to be answered. But if you're going to be enamored with this and with the people that do that, you're not going to be a leader, guys. Did you hear me? You're going to be a weak Christian. Did you hear me? Yes or no? You're going to be a weak Christian. Okay? Strifes of words. Flee that. This word's that. Well, this means, well, this whatever. Are you kidding me? Life's too hard for me to spend time Mickey Mouse in here. Envy. Wait, excuse me, back it up. Envy. Flee people that are envious. Flee people that are always whining about what they don't have. Or they want to do and they want to do, but they're not willing to put in the time and be the leader that they need to be. You hear me, yes or no? Yeah, praise God. Come on. I don't need that. I'm not going to. No, you're an envious person. Why don't you just hush your mouth and be a leader? Hush now and serve. Amen? Come on. Envy. Railings. That's just running mouth. People running their mouth about somebody, talking about it, just railing on somebody. Listen. Flee that kind of thing. Not just people doing it yourself. Amen? Evil surmisings. Let's just letting your mind think all kinds of things. You know, especially when it comes to the work of God and people. Amen? And just this, that, or the other. I'm going to just be honest with you. Can I go ahead and be honest or not? You want me to be a yes or you want me to be? You want me to be honest or lie to you? Let's be honest then. Here we go. Had somebody not long ago. I'm going to tell you what I do. We have a P.O. box. How many knows what that number is? Box what? 121. I went and got that mailbox years ago. I'm the one that checks that mail. You understand that? I check that mail. You know why I check that mail? To encourage myself. That's where I get all kinds of notes. People encourage me. By the way, That's where people send money to. It's incredible. Yeah. And someone came to me not long ago and criticized me and told me I shouldn't check that mailbox. Because I open myself up, they say, to, you know, to people talking. Or, that's why I'm telling you today. I checked the mailbox. Go ahead and talk. You hear me? No, I'm serious. Here's my point. Here's my point. Don't get enamored by that thought. But here's my point. My point is, if you want to think evil about somebody, you can think evil about somebody. You ought to spend your time better. You know what I'm saying? We ought to spend our time better thinking about folk. You know, you hear what I'm saying? Yeah, in essence, what they were saying was, I can't be trusted to even check the mail. You'll do it? Yeah, Roger's whole point is, well then, why can he be trusted? And why can Alex be trusted? That's my whole point, guys. If you want to spend time Mickey Mousing over mess like that and finding and just thinking this way, did I lose you on that or is that okay? I'm just talking to you guys. This is part of the ministry. When you try to have a church, you try to build a building, you'll always have people thinking, well, this way or that way. All that tells me is you're not stepping up and committing to your call. Did you hear me or not? You're really just showing who you really are. Amen? And to be honest with you, when that person said that to me, the opposite happened. I lost respect for them. Did you hear me? That's what drained that day was the respect that I had for them. You hear me? I'm sorry if I got to be straight up with you. Are you okay or not? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, by the way, last week we had a great week at the mailbox. It's great. It was great. Man, I'm serious. A check for $1,000 here and another $1,000 here and $500 from over here. And the cool thing, they're written to Fellowship Church. Amen. So that's the cool thing. Amen. But it's a blessing, guys. It's a blessing. So don't be, I would really encourage you. You know, this can happen in your workplace, guys. People in authority over you. You can start, if you're not careful, instead of being the leader you need to be, you can start questioning them because so-and-so said such-and-such. And what you ought to do is flee from that and walk away from this over here. Separate yourself from that and be a supporting role and a good person in the ministry or the job where you're at. Amen? Say, instead of making stuff up or whatever. Y'all listening or not? Charlie, are you with me? I didn't lose you. Okay. Hey, if we got Charlie, we're here, buddy. Come on. Prefers disputing, just disputing, supposing gain is godliness. These are things that you just need to flee from, you know, in your call for God and call for working for God. You should never even think at all about, you know, wealth and riches. And that's what's happened to a lot of ministries and a lot of ministry leaders. We can get enamored with money and wealth and things like that. And Paul says, you just separate yourself, son, from all that kind of mess. Don't have anything to do with that. You listening or not? So number one is flee. By the way, I put this up. Not all division is bad. Separating sometimes is a good thing. Separating yourself from somebody and having a division with somebody is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's good that people know where you stand. And they know, wait a minute, there's a line right there I can't cross with that rascal because he is not going to take it. You listening or not? Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on, here we go. Stand against for the sake of your own what? That's what you have to do. Got a pastor about 60 years, Pastor Denhart. How you doing today? There you are, brother. Amen. Right there, dead center, just staring me down up here. But, Pastor, don't you agree that you have to stand against sometime for the sake of your own calling? Wow! Does it sound familiar? Okay. Well, if I get off track, you just wave at me. Amen. Here we go. Hey, let's finish up, guys. A couple other quick points.
follow. So number one is what? Flee. Number two, Timothy, follow. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. We just talked about them. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Let's talk about those real fast. Not going to take time. Follow, Timothy, personal integrity, righteousness. You can't please all the people, but you can know you're a person of integrity. You be that person, Timothy. Number two, godliness, cheerful obedience. You do what you do because you're doing it cheerfully, Timothy. You're a good man, Paul's saying. Don't you let them get you down, and don't you get down about yourself. Number three, faithfulness. You are a dependable man. Timothy, you remain dependable, and you stay dependable like you're doing. You're a leader. They're not. Love, Timothy. Self-sacrifice. Give yourself to other people. Keep doing that. It's a good thing to give yourself to people. Yes, sometimes along the way, people will take advantage of you, Timothy. People will look down on you, Timothy. People will despise you, Timothy. It happens in the ministry. But it's the right thing to do, and you're doing it for Jesus. Keep it going, baby. Amen? Patience. The word means endurance. Endure, Timothy. You endure, son. You endure. See how this is good for us? Say, if you're going to commit to your calling, you flee. Separate yourself from certain ideas and even certain people. Number two, you follow that which is right. Now, guys, when you look at this list, look at it. Meekness, that strength under control. Keeping under your body and doing the right thing. And from anger to whatever. You can fill in the blank, okay? Control. But see, you're not going to be able to commit to your calling if you're not doing this. Did you hear me or not? You're not going to have the call of God on your life, and you're not going to be able to be a committed person if you don't have personal integrity. If you're serving, but it's not cheerful, it's just, you know, you're just doing it. If you're not dependable, you're not going to be a leader. If you're not self-sacrificing, if you don't endure, if you don't keep under your body and keep control of certain things that you should or shouldn't do, you're not going to be able to be the leader. So you've got to follow this if you want to commit to your calling. Understood or not? Here's the cool thing, though. Timothy was worried about all this other stuff, which he couldn't control. And Paul tried to bring and focus his attention on things he could control. Isn't that beautiful? See, that's why you can commit to your calling and you can be used of God. Because this is within your power to be a leader. Understand? Number three, step up. Say that word with me. Number one was flee. Number two was follow. Number three is fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life whereunto you are what? And you professed a good profession among many witnesses, man. Fight. The idea is to keep on fighting, Timothy. Keep on fighting, buddy. You keep on fighting, man. You keep on doing that, buddy. You keep on with it, man. That's how you keep committing to your call, by you keep fighting. You just keep fighting. Not fighting people. Did you get that? Timothy was having to fight himself. And buddy, if anybody can talk about this, it's me. Of fighting myself. I have had to fight myself. And many times I've fought it out right here on the stage in front of everybody. You've seen it come alive if you've been here long enough. Okay? But really, that's who we need to fight, guys. Ourselves. If you want to be a leader. You listening or not? No one can commit for you. No one can commit full obedience and service to God but you. I believe everybody in this room can be something for God, regardless of your past. That's the power of a full commitment to Christ. Amen? I'm asking God for people that will fully commit to God's work. Fully commit to God's work. I tell you what, we have so many people that are called here. Did you understand that? Did you know I don't call people on the telephone and get them to bring the trailers on Sunday morning? I never called a man and asked him to blow off the driveways today. I didn't call anybody and have them put up signs out by the road. I didn't call anybody to pick up the donuts. Did you know I didn't have to do that? I didn't tell Miss Edna. Where are you, Miss Edna? Okay, I didn't call you. She's out there already. I didn't call her and say, make sure you're by the door and hug every neck. You understanding? Yes or no?
quite frankly, I don't have to call Pete and Joan King sitting straight in front of me to do a new believers class to help new believers. They call me telling me what they're going to do. How about that? You understand how that works? Have I lost you again? Amen? Fight! It's used of both an athlete and a soldier. It's where we get our English word to what? As you answer your call to the ministry, to serve God in our community and with our church, know that it's going to be agonizing. And I thought it was just fun. We all raise our hand. We all go eat. No, we don't all just go eat. There's a lot of agony in ministry. Are y'all hearing me or not? I want to keep every single person that comes to Christ. I want them to be in our family. Yet I watch them fall away. And it kills me. You hear me? I want all of us to speak the right things and say good words. Yet I get wind of somebody gossiping. And it's agonizing to me. Do you hear me? Yes or no? I don't understand it. You hear me? This is what it is, guys. It's, you know what I mean? I see marriages struggle. And I know both of you can do it. You can both do this in Christ. But I got two people, and one doesn't want to, and one does, and then they don't want to, and it's agony. For me. Because I care. Do you see it or not? I'm not trying to point to me today. I'm trying to use me as sort of a way to see Timothy. You see what he's doing? Timothy. Fight! Agonize through it! Keep on fighting! Amen? Come on. We've been called to eternal life. This calling is what? It's worth fighting for and it's worth defending. Guys, you've got yourself out of bed this morning. This is the best thing you could do. This is the best thing you could do to come to a church to hear the Word of God, to listen to the Word, even though I might give it in a poor manner. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is you're here today. You're hearing the Word. You're seeing it on the screen. This is worth doing. Amen? Praise the Lord with me. This is worth doing, guys. It's worth doing. Amen. Come on. Got to quit now. Last one. Four things. Let's see if we can remember. They're all F's. Flee. Follow. Fight. The last one is this. Faithful. Faithful. I give you charge of the sight of God who quickens all things and before Christ Jesus who before Pontius Pilate he witnessed a good profession. That you keep this commandment without spot and rebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He's telling Timothy, be faithful. The word means can be depended to obey. I can be depended on to obey. He said, Timothy, you keep being faithful. Commit to what you're doing. We're going to build a great work. He's telling Timothy. This new gospel of Christ, this gospel of our Savior and Lord dying, and you're seeing Ephesus changed, and people coming to Christ. And they're going from worshiping Diana to worshiping the one and only true God, Jesus Christ. You stay faithful. Commit to what you're doing. Jesus Christ, the ultimate commander-in-chief, has commanded us to guard at all costs the deposit of faith which we've been entrusted with. Did y'all hear that? You've been entrusted with faith in Jesus. With all costs, you should guard it. At all costs. You should guard the faith that's been given you. Commit to that call. Let the Mickey Mouse church mess, let somebody else deal with it. Commit to a higher calling, to reaching people for Christ, to living for the Lord, to be an example among believers, to love our community. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Amen. Come on. Commit to that. It's worth it. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings. See Paul pulling his hair out. And oppositions of science, falsely so-called, all kinds of crazy ideas out there floating, he said, which some professing they bared concerning the faith. Timothy, if you don't get off this mess and thinking about this one and that one and the other one and this fault and this thing and that thing, he says, I'm going to tell you something, son. Some have done what you're sort of toying with and they've erred from the faith. You better be careful. Did you hear me? Commit to your calling, son. Commit to your calling and everything's going to be fine. Praise the Lord. Y'all cool? Faithful. We're done, Raj. What we got? Committing to your calling. Step up this morning. Last thing, leaders lead. That's what? Amen. We saw four things this morning. Flee. Follow. Fight. And be. One more time. Flee. Follow. Fight. And be. Don't you think you might could do that? Amen. I'm asking God to give us more and more people that are committed to the call. I know quite a few here are committed to the call of the ministry that the Lord has given us here at Fellowship, but I see quite a few of you that aren't. And I'm asking you to step up. Step up. Why wouldn't you want to be committed to a church that's being birthed in our community, that's going to be here for years and years to come and reach thousands and thousands of souls for Christ? We're doing a good thing. Amen? And we need you. But half in, don't cut it. You hear me? Yes or no? And I'm not trying to be ugly to you. Why would I preach the word if we're not going to preach it? Amen? This word for Timothy is a word for us. It's been a word for me. Gary, where are you? Amen? Both feet in. Amen? Both feet in. Me, baby. That's me. Does not put me above nobody. I just know my commitment. You understand? I had a dream the other night. I got a hush. Wasn't even part of the message. Just for a moment. We were nearing the conclusion of our building. And I saw people get excited about giving to God's work. Just for a moment. The dream was so quick. But it was, I saw people wanting to, like, there was no problem. This one gave, that one gave. Big gift here, another gift here. And just for a moment, I believe the Lord gave me just a glimpse of what could be. You hear me or not? It's amazing. When we're committed and we know our calling and we know it's bigger than us, I don't know, it puts the baby to rest. You know what I'm saying? And we move forward. That was a little goofy for me to say that maybe. I'm just sharing. Amen? Let's praise the Lord for the message, not the goofiness. Praise the Lord! I know I went a crazy today. Amen.